Congressman, just from an outsider looking in, what are your thoughts about Rick Snyder, the administration, the Senate, and the House of Representatives, and what they've been, the work they've been doing?
Well, I mean, the one thing I've liked where the governor has gone is that they are committed to making Michigan a place where you can do business. And, you know, we can talk about all the things that we want and all the things we'd like to have, but if businesses aren't opening up and hiring people, we will never get out of the problems that we're in the state. He's set out, and I know he's made some hard and tough decisions, and maybe it wasn't exactly the way I would have done it. I think he's done a good job of trying to say, we're going to open the state of Michigan up for business. Come on up, open your business, take a risk, we'll be with you.
There is a report that was released. I found this in the Detroit Free Press. And according to this annual report, the Medicaid fund will be exhausted in 2024, 5 years earlier than last year's estimate. The Social Security fund will be exhausted in 2036, 1 year earlier than before. Man, we're in a world of hurt with these.
Absolutely. So to do nothing means that you abandon Medicare and you abandon Social Security. So this political fight about if you do anything at all, you've somehow harmed Medicare and Social Security is just wrong. If you do nothing, which is what the others have proposed, it goes bankrupt. Your children lose the opportunity to have these programs. And I think that there is a compromise that can be that can happen here to save Medicare and to save Social Security. And we can do it. It can be done. The problem is people want to treat these as political events and not substantive events. In the meantime, the clock is ticking. 9 years. Medicare in 9 years will be broke. 9 years. And I just think that's unacceptable. And I think in our country that we couldn't come together to find some agreement is just wrong. And simply saying we're just going to raise everybody's taxes isn't going to do it. If you took every penny of somebody that made over $250,000, I mean, not just tax, every penny of which they earned, it would not solve the problem. Think of that. Every single penny. And we keep saying we're going to tax them to do this and tax them to do that and tax them to do that. And by the way, they already pay over 50% of all revenue to our taxes, our tax base. This is just not a sustainable rate. It sounds great. Politically, it's great. People will run ads and commercials this year, you know, highlighting all of that. The problem is in 9 years, it's going broke. And we better have some adult leadership in Washington to try to deal with
this. So for Social Security, for Medicare, what needs to be done so these will be funded forever?
Yeah, on Social Security, well, let's start. Medicare is the one we're going to have to worry about up front because we've got 9 years here. I do believe that we can make some changes. Right, here's the other problem with Medicare today. And with the passage of the health care bill, a whole bunch of problems have surfaced. One is doctors have stopped taking new Medicare patients in droves. And that's very worrisome because in Medicare, the government doesn't pay cost. They pay less than cost. And the reason the insurance rates are all over the map and high and going up is because guess where doctors make up the difference? They have to make it up on private insurance rates. And so the government has, in an odd way, not paid for cost, which means doctors don't want to take Medicare patients because every time a Medicare patient goes through, they lose a little bit of money. Some a lot, some a little. Well, then they make it up on insurance. So insurance keeps going up to try to make up for the difference on Medicare. It's just unsustainable. So one of the things that happened is on Part D, it was established under a Medicare, which, by the way, has a 90-some percent approval rating with seniors who use it. And Part D was the drug provision that allowed them to defray the costs of prescription drugs, which were killing them. Now, there's a lot of argument, and people didn't like it and all of that. The one place where companies compete for that government business, guess what? Prices are down, quality is up, and patients love it. Because I argue competition at the end of the day works. So in Medicare, what I think we can do is take the Part D model that's working today under the government prescription Part D program and try to apply it to all of Medicare. And that's really what has been proposed. It's been maligned in many ways. But we know it works in Part D. Why don't we do it across the board and make folks come in, compete for your business as a senior with the government as the backstop, we think it does a couple of things. Improves quality. You'll get better access. Doctors will be more likely to take you, and we will save Medicare for the future. I think it's something we have to look at. We're going to be debating it and talking about it and arguing it. And I'll tell you, the answer of just simply raising taxes isn't going to fix the problem.
What about Social Security?
Social Security is the same. There, we're going to have to, I think the only way to solve Social Security is a bipartisan panel that comes out with a recommendation. Anything short of that is political disaster, and it'll never happen, and people will be yelling at each other right to the demise of Social Security, and I think that'd be unfortunate.
Do you think state governments and to some extent the federal government is trying to bust unions up and take away collective bargaining in order to end unions?
No, I don't think so. I do believe that there has to be a balance put back in. People want a collective bargain. That's great. They have the right to do it. I have absolutely nothing against that. I think the problem was when the private sector started realigning itself with economic reality, the public sector didn't. And so people have said, this is what I think has been frustrating for most people, is when the public sector or the unions were doing apparently exceptional work in their negotiations, and they got way out of line with the private sector. Remember, when I first started, I'll never forget, when I was a brand new second lieutenant, I mean, we could barely pay rent on the outside of the base. They kept sending us a form saying, but because of these other things, here's how you compete with the private sector. Well, guess what? Now it's lopsided. The public sector pays better with better pension plan. That was never the intention. It was, we can't pay you as much, but we'll give you good benefits. Well, guess what? Now the benefits went up and the pay went up. And so all this is a realignment. It has nothing. I argue it really isn't union busting. The public unions think it is. It's just more of a realignment with the private sector. Main Street isn't getting raises. They're cutting back. They're barely making it. And these are the people that are paying the bills. And we just need to stand up for the people who are paying the bills and say, listen, we want well-paid public employees, but it has to be in line with where the rest of the economy is. That's all we're saying.
During the break, you told me that the United States had the highest corporate income tax in the world.
That's right. Matter of fact, Canada, who is just actually elected a sweep of the conservative government, I think first time in, I don't know how long it was, years. And their goal is to get down to 15% at the corporate tax rate. Japan lowered its tax rate lower than the United States this year. The Europeans have lowered their corporate tax rate. Now, they also have value-added tax and other things, but their argument is they're going to compete for those companies so that people get employed. You'll make up the tax revenue by having people working. We now have the highest corporate tax rate in the world, of industrialized world, let me rephrase that, of people we want to compete against. Why in God's green earth would we continue to have the highest corporate tax and watch our businesses pack up and go someplace else? Makes no sense. And if you look at where Canada's the great example, we're right on our border, a lot like us. They are cutting costs, and they are reducing corporate rates. And guess what? Their economy is good. They're going to have a balanced budget next year. Unbelievable. That's unbelievable. And you know how they're doing it? They're doing it by cutting and promoting job growth. And we ought to... Listen, we ought to just take our neighbors to the north, not known for their conservative politics, and say, if it's working for you, it can work for us.